Mark 11, verses 21 through 24. And what I thought was really interesting was I shared some of that only a few months ago. And I almost asked the question, why? Why again? It's been so soon. I thought it, but I didn't ask it. But the Lord knows our thoughts, so I didn't get away with it at any rate. Mark 11, and in these verses, starting in verse 21, and I have it in the New King James, and I know that we can't do that yet. Maybe we can find a Bible program where we can. BibleGate won't let us because of a copyright issue if we take it, use their scriptures in the church, and then we put it on the church website. It's a copyright issue, so we need to find some kind of thing that we can pull up different translations, because I know Don brings a lot of scriptures sometimes, and it's really difficult. You lose half of the message trying to find it, you know, and we've become electronically dependent. But at any rate, Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." I made a little note. If you read the verses before that, oftentimes the Gospels are not in chronological order. The night before, Jesus came into the town of Bethany, but on the way, that's where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. But on the way, he looked over at the temple and he saw things that he didn't like going on. He didn't address it at that time, but he saw this fig tree and they were hungry. And you can read in those verses where he told that tree that there'd be no more fruit on it from that day forward. And so that happened that night. Then the next day, Jesus did go back to the temple, and that's when he overturned and the tables and got religiously irate about what was going on with the lambs and all of that. And so he remembered that. And so they come to that fig tree again, and it's all dried up. And so after Peter said that, "Look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." These scriptures I had encapsulated into a larger presentation on prayer and going through all the places where Jesus talked about prayer and about asking according to his will, all of those kind of things. But some other things kind of popped out, and that's the why now. Have faith in God. We generally, as Christians, we don't generally go around cursing things. A long time ago in my faith walk, I speak to sickness and disease that way. I speak to cancer that way, and command that those cancer cells wither up and dry up from the root, and there'll be no more fruit come from them. So it's not a prayer. It's making a declaration of faith. And Don talked about words last week, and we've spent months sometimes on that long teaching on words. But when Jesus said, "Have faith in God," some translations have the God kind of faith. because it is given to us. And I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, and there's a, I hope I can say this right, but there are times in our lives when you may have a mountain in your life that needs to be removed. And oftentimes you might go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to remove that mountain. And the mountain may remain. And you may ask why. And the Lord may just tell you, because I told you to speak to it and you didn't. And I want you to think about that. There are times in our lives when we have to speak to things. And it's not a matter of praying. It's having faith in God that He's going to honor what you said. We know that sickness and disease and infirmities are not of Him. They're of our enemy. And there are times when you ask God to do something that He told you to do, and He anointed you to do it, He empowered you to do it, and you don't do it. Because we overlook that. And that can be really big. A really big thing if we don't learn to speak to things. Now that's not praying. Jesus didn't pray to that about that fig tree. He just said, hey, I'm hungry, you didn't feed me, boom, you're done. End of story. A lot of times, people have mountains in their lives continuously. I know two people, consistently. And I've learned to be very patient to try to impart that to their understanding, but I can't make somebody understand something. And this has gone on for years. And over and over and over, the person will say, pray for me, this is happening. So we pray, God takes care of it. And before the ink is dry in the prayer list, boom, another thing. And it's just over and over and over, continuously. It's a way of life for that particular person. And I said, did you ever consider speaking to it? Horror. No, I hadn't. Do you remember when Jesus said, speak to the mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea? What did He say about that? Does not doubt in his heart. That's really important. My sister-in-law, there was a reason I told you that. She was honest with me, and she said, I don't know whether the story about Jesus is true or not. She says it could just be a story. She wasn't mocking me or getting on my case or anything. She was just really being honest. I could have got really religious and said, well, there's two ways you can look at this. If it's the truth, and I didn't believe it, and I died, I found out that I've lost everything. But what if it is, and I don't believe it, then I've lost everything. But I didn't say that. I just said, when you get down to your last breath, if you've got enough breath left, Jesus, save me. And you believe that, and you're trusting Him at that last minute because you have a fear that what I told her might be true. Doubting is seeing all the evidence and questioning. Unbelief is a little bit different. You see all the evidence and you just flatly refuse to believe. Be removed and be cast into the sea. I remember one morning, like they say in India, one fine day, when Jesse was among us, and he had an injury to his arm. You know, Jesse's young, But he's so quick to respond to things. I mean, I love having Tuesday nights with him. Even when he was overseas, we were in constant communication, sometimes 3-4 times a week at night. He said, "I got tired of that arm hurting." And he said, "Arm, in the name of Jesus, I command that pain to stop." And he said, "And the amazing thing is, it stopped almost immediately." And that's what Jesus is talking about. You learn to speak to stuff. I believe back there's a little booklet that Gary put on his table about learning to speak to things. Because you've been given the authority. You've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it was the Holy Spirit that caused what God spoke to come into being. You don't think he can create something really nifty? It's him. He did that. God spoke it. The Holy Spirit caused it to come into existence. Your words, my words, have the power to create. And when you speak to something, speak it with that authority. Try it. It'll make you feel good. Quick. And he says, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. You would think, well, that's asking a lot. Now, let me tell you about the little boy on the airplane that was thrashing in the sky I was riding in. That doesn't bother me because I know how they stress test aircraft for turbulence. You'd never want to ride in one again if I did, so I won't. But this little kid, he was probably, I don't know, a year or two old. Every time the plane would go, whoo, and then back up, he was laughing. He thought he was at Six Flags on a ride. Everybody else is ready to throw up or pass out. And this little kid, and then people began to laugh at the little kid the way he was laughing, and soon it was a laughing flight. It's infectious. It really is. And he was not afraid. Nobody taught him to be afraid yet. It's like our grandchildren, they play with bugs and snakes and all kinds of stuff because their mothers didn't contaminate him with a spirit of fear. And they do remarkable things. They're homeschooled, and they're just not afraid. But believes that those things he says will be done. It's that same childlike thing I'm trying to get at. Jesus talked to us about in his word about having childlike faith. Somebody has to teach you unbelief. Somebody has to teach you fear. We're not born with those things. We learn them from adults that had gone on before us. And then it says, he will have whatever he says. And that's really interesting. He didn't say they will have whatever he asked the Father for. Did you get that? Whatsoever you speak, whatsoever you say, you'll have if you believe it. Now that ties in with some of what Don talked about last week, and I know the first part of it because I listened. I wanted to be edified. I weren't here with you last week. And I was giving out, but I know better than to give out and not feed my own spirit too. And then he says, therefore, or because of this truth, I say this to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray. Now here's something different. He talked about whatsoever things you speak, if you believe it, it'll come to pass. You'll have it. But now he tweaks it a little bit. Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, and so you'll like this, believe that you receive them when you pray. Believe that you receive them. Remember how much we talked about? As soon as you ask for something, you thank God and you continue to thank Him. You don't have to ask again. And people beat themselves into a frenzy praying for the same thing, the same thing, the same thing, over and over and over, thinking that that's going to gain enough favor with God. Oh, they're so faithful. They've asked me 49 times today. I heard them the first time. This is a real key to seeing a lot more of the things that you prayed for come to pass if you will simply add every day. Make a note, write it in a book, a notebook, with the date that you asked. And until you memorize the date, then every day you can go back, Father, I thank you. I thank you for what I asked you for on this day. It took 13 trips to India to teach Pastor Sherrard a lot of these things. You talked about waiting. He's a go-getter. He gets up in the morning, man, which village am I going to go to today? And he'll pace and stress over, where are we going to go today? Because I'm there for only 2 weeks, so he wants to take me everywhere. And then one day I said, Why does that bother you? Didn't you ask the Lord where we were to go? No, I know where to go. Duh. So I said, well, since God didn't tell you where to go today, and you're all in a tizzy over it, let's just stay here at the house today and wait on the Lord and see what happens. New concept for somebody that's 40 years in the faith. Oh, I thought I was supposed to be doing all the time, going here, going there, doing this, doing that. Let's see what happens when we just sit in the house. And do you know, before we had our mid-morning tea, at least 8 people came to the house, one after the other. They wanted prayer. We would have missed them all if we'd have just got up and just took off somewhere. And that continued all day long, right up until way late in the day when the buses weren't running anymore or people weren't walking. It was getting dark. And he was so amazed by just, when you pray, believe you receive them. Well, he didn't pray where to go, so God didn't tell him where to go. So we decided to wait. And everything that he would have gone after came to the house. And that was just such a remarkable thing. But believing that you receive them, that's really key after we ask. And I know so often I've talked about it because I know people that have heard this more times than I've spoken, and they still forget to do this. So you hear the words from the scriptures, and again I say unto you, after you've prayed for something, you don't need to pray again. You need to thank God for what you asked Him for, especially if you know it's His will. And you will have them. And you will surely find a lot more answered prayer and things that you've asked God for if you'll always remember to thank Him. Thank Him every day. If people are going to pray every day the same prayer, then make it a prayer of thanksgiving. That's the best prayer you can pray in that situation, a prayer of thanksgiving. So I'll leave you with that. And because of all of the other testimonies and all that I talked about, now I have the answer to the why question. Why did I have such a short opening scripture? All the times we've talked about it, and now I know, because it accommodated and flowed. See, I never come stressed thinking I have to bring everything. You bring the other parts. And so you see the body functioning the way the Apostle Paul told about how the body of Christ functions. Everyone has a part, but you got to have the opportunity. And here you do. And you all are witnesses to how every week, it may never go the same way, For God always shows up and he always speaks to us, and he speaks to us through each other. I don't have all of it. You talk about burned out. Boy, I would have been crispy a lot. Well, maybe people call me kind of crispy now, but it's not from burnout, I can tell you that. So please remember that. Please remember to thank the Lord for the things you've asked him for.